Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
To the Reconnected Show with your host, Nazeem Rashid. Nazeem is the author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, a how-to manual for all those wanting permanent change in their lives. It is also a guide to virtually go back in time and eliminate all negative feelings associated with your past experiences that have caused any level of difficulty in your present life. Nazeem has helped clients move from apathy to productivity, from codependency to loving themselves without attachment, from drug-addicted lifestyles to clean and sober positive examples, demonstrating what can be accomplished when one connects and stays connected to that which gives life. I am Dorothy Rashid, the co-host. Without any further ado, I bring to you Nazeem Rashid.
Well, okay. Wonderful, fantastic, marvelous, exciting. Yes, it is. Another day in paradise. I am Nazeem Rashid, here based in a Phoenix, Arizona area in the good old USA. And I want to give a shout out to some of my new members that have joined the show from other countries. We have Rwanda and Malawi, and I think those are the new ones, besides the other ones such as Singapore, South Africa, Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia, Bangladesh, United Kingdom, Germany, did I say Germany? Germany, Canada. Okay, there we go. And if I missed any of you, please get back to me. All right, wonderful. I appreciate that, absolutely. So welcome all into our Paradise One studio where every day is a holiday and the party never stops. Yay!
Yay! Woohoo!
Okay, fantastic. Our studio audience is growing. I think I missed a voice here or there, but that's okay. Here we are. Welcome again to the Reconnected Show, which is based directly or indirectly on the chapters in my book, Reconnected. We always start with a nice blessing with our opening universal prayer, like I mentioned before, always on this program, whatever name or reference fits your belief system, will do just fine when I'm mentioning God. Just know that we did not create ourselves, and in knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I am using God as an universal theme. It is not relegated to a particular religion or belief system. Yes. If you only use Ra, a source, energy, infinite intelligence, any religious titles, it's okay. With the name of God, we thank you for the angels you have sent amongst us, reminding us of your presence, grace, and mercy. Thank you for the attitudes of gratitude you have given us to give back to you. Thank you for the favor of clear thinking minds you have given us. Thank you for our positive associations that help keep us connected to our higher purpose. Amen. Okay, with that, we have our show notes with Dorothy. Take it away. I believe she's there. Yoo-hoo.
Hello, Pam. Sorry about that. I clicked the wrong button there.
Uh-oh.
We all have experienced disappointments in our past, and some of us have not reconciled those issues. In order for us to travel wonderfully on our healthy path of life, we have to release all unnecessary baggage that is preventing us from going full speed ahead. This is what Nazim's book, Reconnected, and this program is designed to do. Let us hear from you as we learn together how discovering the needs of our child self can make a substantial difference in our lives. The book Reconnected is out, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. It's available at www.cloudsofabundance.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, Jazzy Yogurt Shop in Scottsdale, Arizona, and my favorite health food store, Healthy Habits Health Food Store in Phoenix, Arizona. The chapters in the book and the themes of this Reconnected show are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addiction, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions. You can connect with Nazim using his email address in our book club at gmail.com. That's N as in Nazim, R as in Rashid, book club at gmail.com. Or his website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. You'll find information such as life coaching, book signing dates, webinars, and workshops. All life coaching is done through your phone, so you can have sessions with Nazim wherever you may be in the world. Life coaching is about removing the obstacles and encouraging you to go beyond your perceived barriers to the accomplishment of your dreams and aspirations. Life coaching is about results now and creating the future you want versus counseling that spends a lot of time in healing the past. Healing the past is also important and something Nazim does with his book and book-related events. It's time to be reconnected and time for the new you.
Yes, it is time for the new you. Yes, and Dorothy did a fantastic job there. We so appreciate her. Yes, we do. Okay, this is a personal growth program designed with your inner peace in mind. Is it time for programs to focus on your inner peace in mind instead of the chaos and confusion that you hear on major media? Yeah, this program is designed to help you out inside. Yeah. Discussions here will be based directly or indirectly on the chapters in my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This book contains a methodology for feeling the many emotional voids experienced in childhood. You'll learn to become a time traveler. Fun, fun, fun. Yes, traveling back to the time and place of your upbringing, becoming a senior advisor, next door friend of the family, mentor to your child self. Yeah, just imagine you at the age you are now talking to yourself when you're 5 or 6. It is having an imaginary friend. You see? But it's not imaginary, not really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You will create the fictional character, the mentor, you, acting as a mentor to your child self. You will have sessions. Imagine having sessions with the self you once were. Then, as you address those negative events that you still carry with you, yeah, and change the outcome to one of your desire. You can do these things. This way you will create real internal change in your life and be free of the negative effects of unresolved past issues. It is also for parents who want new information for raising the best emotionally balanced children possible. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about that today. Yeah. And I have a 3-part parenting video on YouTube based on my book. Just go to YouTube.com and put in the search Reconnected. The Parents Manual. Again, Reconnected. The Parents Manual. Other benefits? There's plenty of them. Yeah, it's also for mentors who can appreciate additional tools. Yeah, for their students and teachers also, so they can understand, or not understand, but develop more empathy. Because a lot of times, you know, unfortunately, because of politics, teachers have lost that. You know, so that's important for teachers. Couples, now, this is another big benefit, relationships. Mm-hmm. Couples wanting a better relationship can also benefit from the personal growth tools being offered, such as communication and listening skills. Yeah, as you know, a lot of divorces, now most divorces happen from a lack of communication and listening skills. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I talk about that in my relationship workshops, how the emphasis is put on the wedding, the rings, the glamour, the glitz, the gowns, the wedding party, the band, the venue, all that. And nothing is paid attention to what it takes to have a nice, healthy, long-lasting marriage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is why after all the wedding ceremony, the marriage ends. Because they wanted the wedding, not the marriage. Okay, think about it. Another big benefit of Reconnected is in recovery. I have over 100 pages dedicated to addictions, codependency, and recovery in my 12 Principles of Recovery chapter and Codependency chapter. This recovery program is not just for those afflicted with drug addictions. It is also beneficial to those suffering from anger, abuse, compulsive disorders, overeating, gambling, sexual and controlling issues. Mm-hmm. Other benefits? Well, it's you know, Reconnected is really for any individual who wants to consciously connect to the higher self, to spirit, source energy, to God. So you see, it's really a multi-purpose manual. A parent's manual, teacher's manual, recovery manual, mentor's manual, relationship manual, a manual for the transformation of your negative experiences to positive memories. Can you see that now? Yeah. Loving yourself at deep levels. A lot of us have problems with that. We don't like looking at the mirror even. And creating the life you have always desired. Yeah, yeah. See that now? How when you go back in time and you have your sessions with your child self, the self you once were, that's what we're talking about, flesh and blood person, okay? You change the feelings you had in those experiences, all right, through your contact with your child self and other members. Yeah, all that's done through virtual experience. You can do that. The mind is a wonderful thing to have, you know. Yes, absolutely. All those things happen within. Mm-hmm. Now, my statement to you, I'm committed to sharing practical tools with and supporting those who want and envision for themselves an abundant life, an empowered life, an independent thinking life, a spiritual life, a reconnected life. All right. Okay, now for happy news, we have a great one today. So at our international and national news desk, we have Dorothy again. Take it away.
The title today is Roots of Empathy Program Teaches Children Compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's August 22nd of 2013. Roots of Empathy has been called Canada's olive branch to the world. A charitable organization, our mission is to build caring, peaceful, and civil societies through the development of empathy in children and adults. Our vision is to change the world child by child. Roots of Empathy is considered a model of social innovation. We have two programs, a flagship program of the same name for children in elementary school, Roots of Empathy, and its younger sibling, a program for children ages 3 to 5 in early childhood settings. Seeds of Empathy. The Roots of Empathy program was founded in Canada in 1996 by Mary Gordon, an internationally recognized educator, social entrepreneur, author, and child advocate, and today has reached more than 450,000 children worldwide. At the heart of the program are classroom visits by an infant and parent. Through guided observations of this loving relationship, children learn to identify and reflect on their own thoughts and feelings and those of others. Independent evaluations consistently show children who receive Roots of Empathy experience dramatic and lasting effects in terms of increased positive social behavior, sharing, helping, and including, and decreased aggression. Roots of Empathy has been recognized by His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, emotional intelligence author Daniel Goleman, and the World Health Organization, among others. The organization works in partnership with Indigenous people globally and has been endorsed in Canada by National Chief Sean Anuttatleo and former Chief Phil Fontaine of the Assembly of First Nations. Mary Gordon has won numerous awards, and the program has also won an International Changemakers Award from the Ashoka Organization. Nazim?
Hey, well, very good. This is really a fantastic story. There's an organization helping our youngsters with empathy. I talk a lot about that in my book, how empathy is different from sympathy, how empathy really connects you to that person, where sympathy is a way of feeling with them, or feeling for them, not with them. You're kind of disconnected with sympathy, but you're actually connected with empathy. And to bring in, you know, mother and infant, and for the children to see the connection there, really touches that the inner child within the child, that spirit within the child that all children have is always there. All children have an inner child that's angelic in nature, and it really develops that. It makes them feel more. This is very important. Very important. Good story. Yes, it is. All right, then. Today's theme. Matter of fact, speaking of children, it blends right with our theme today. Yeah, matter of fact, I just thought about that just now. The theme is really developing the bliss point in our children, that bliss, B-L-I-S-S, bliss point in our children, which is so related to the article. This happens all the time on the Reconnect the Show. We have these nice happy news articles, and we have our guests to come on, and it's all related. It all blends in. It's like it was all done on purpose. It was all arranged. It wasn't like that, you know. So it's kind of interesting how that turned out like that. It does all the time, though. It's interesting. So that means that we're in the right path, in the right orbit, doing the right thing. So praise God there. All right. Dr. Brown's going to be our guest, our returning guest on our show today. Okay, on our last conversation with Dr. Brown, he talked a lot about how the ego gets in the way of our evolvement, and the bliss point is never reached, you know? Yeah. Another thing, too, about how our shows are kind of all blended in, our other regular guest, Midge Noble out of North Carolina, She was talking about ego on her last show. So see how everything kind of blends together? Yeah. Nothing was planned and arranged like this. It just happened. All right. Yes, yes. So Dr. Brown talked a lot about how ego gets in the way of our evolvement and the bliss point is never reached. This is where the true self resides. Our children learn about this bliss point from the caring parental figures as they are demonstrating this in their own lives. So Dr. Brown says, the makings of the spiritual bliss point are deeply embedded in each infant. Whether the makings of the spiritual bliss point become an actualized experience depends on the person. Once an infant learning the difference between his or her true self and somebody that he or she has come to believe is me. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We talk about that a lot in the book, too, the true self. Mm-hmm. Wise parents encourage a child to ask the right questions and to seek and accept the right answers. Whew. Unwise parents encourage a child to only ask questions when given permission from others and to accept answers endorsed by them and others. I know that's right. Mm. Wise parenting models and guides toward the bliss point. Unwise parenting models guides toward the miss point, M-I-S-S. Okay, all right. So, to further elaborate and elucidate on this wonderful theme, we have Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown, are you on the air?
Yes, I am. I'm very glad to be with you today, Nazim.
All right, so glad to have you on the air again.
Where you want to start with? Where we want to go with this?
Well, you know what? I love the whole idea about the bliss point and the miss point. And just so our audience can really understand the two, just briefly talk about the bliss point versus the miss point, and then we'll go right into the makings of the spiritual bliss point.
Okay, the bliss point is simply a phrase that I use. It's not my phrase, as a matter of fact. I actually take it from the food industry, only I'm expanding it. In a way, if you allow me to use this term, I'm rarefying it. I'm making it what it actually is. The bliss point is a time, a period in a person's life where they are reconnected. They are literally reconnected in their consciousness with all things around them. They are reconnected with, and I'm going to quote here, the source of our creation for guidance and direction. They reach a point in terms of their psycho-spiritual evolution as a human being where they, in fact, honor the source of their creation. They understand. This is a point where a human being recognizes and fully understands the purpose of life, why I exist. They experience a sense of unity that is indescribable. They experience a sense of purpose, of oneness. They recognize that the true self, the real me, transcends this life. They recognize that the experiences, even the misfortunes, as well as the pleasant experiences that they have undergone are all for a very beautiful purpose, and that is for me to find out who I really am. That is the bliss point. In contrast to the bliss point, the miss point is when a person becomes preoccupied with pain, preoccupied with accumulation, with trying to compensate for the pain that they have experienced throughout their life.
Wow.
The person is always trying to reach out for something or someone to complete them, and this is not possible. There's always a sense of emptiness. There's always a sense that something is missing or I'm not complete as a person. This is the miss point. And unfortunately, the majority of people in most modern society live by the miss point. They are constantly in this pursuit of either material or this attempt to identify themselves with someone or something around them to make them feel whole. And one of the most beautiful metaphors or anecdotes that I heard, that I remember I heard that explained it, is that a cat was once told that happiness was in its tail, and it spent the rest of its life chasing its tail. So, you see, most people, most of us spend the rest, we spend the majority of our lives chasing our tails, so to speak. Because we don't understand that this happiness, this bliss point, this sense of unity, this sense of success, achievement, is all within. It's within. It's not determined or defined by others. Now, I'd like to, at this point, branch out. I'd like to, hopefully that explains the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Difference between the miss point and the bliss point. Well, in anticipation of our topic today, in other words, the parents, what role do parents play?
Mm-hmm.
Parents play a very important role in assisting their children in gaining understanding about the bliss point. Parents cannot cause their children to experience the bliss point. And I want to highlight some of the characteristics of wise parents. And I want to start with that that information, that quote you read from me.
Mm-hmm.
Wise parents encourage their children to be curious, to ask questions. But it's not enough simply to encourage your children to ask questions and to learn. But it's also important to encourage them and teach them to accept the right answers to the questions. Not answers that are politically correct, not answers that may simply be accepted by what appears to be a majority of individuals. Is the answer the correct answer? Can it be in some way proved? Is there some way of demonstrating factually that this is the answer to the question? This is what wise parents teach their children. They don't just teach them to gather information or ask questions. They teach them to seek the truth. And there's a difference between teaching your child to know a lot of things and teaching them to always seek the truth. So that is the example of the wise parent. Now, unwise parents tend to, they too encourage their children to ask questions. But as I said earlier, these questions, the kinds of questions that they are taught to ask are questions that are pre-approved.
Okay.
These are questions that are already approved of by their parents, by maybe individuals that are immediately around them. And in their quest for answers, unwise parents tend to teach their children to conform, to go along with the program, to follow what appears to be the majority. Now, what I am not saying is that parents should teach their children to be against others or antisocial.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I am not saying.
Okay.
What I am attempting to say is that unwise parents, either most of the time they don't do it willfully, they inadvertently and unwillfully teach their children simply to conform and to more or less go along with what others believe. And when children are brought up in that manner, they don't experience the bliss point.
Wow.
Because what is it that I'm trying to do? What is it that I'm attempting to do when I'm brought up and I'm taught not to seek answers for myself. I'm attempting to what? To gain the favor. I want you to approve of me. I want to be approved of. I want to be accepted. I want to be successful, and I want to feel that you think that I have achieved and made some progress in my life. However, the dangers that lie in teaching children merely to conform and to go along with whatever appears to be is that they never grow individually. They never can mature to a point where they can truthfully and independently think freely and begin to entertain ideas that will help them move closer to the bliss point. Let's be practical. I want to say a little, maybe this will help.
Okay.
What does it mean? What does it mean to be right and wrong? You know, everybody says, I want to teach my child the difference between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between right and wrong. What they mean is right to the highway. Either I have to do it their way or I can't do it at all. And they're the ones that are telling me what's right. It's what they define as right. They can be
sure.
They can right. The right and wrong has more to do with living, teaching your children to live in a way that is healthy physically, that is healthy mentally, that is no perfect man. I believe that's true. Children are not parents tend to they relate to their children in a way they you know, look, you to me, you gotta do as I say, you
Dr. Brown.
Yes.
Hold tight, right there, I want to put a slight pause. I was having some interruption in your signal. I want to ask Dorothy, did it sound clear on her end? Because sometimes it might be just mine. Dorothy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm going to get the helpline so they can listen because it's breaking up.
Okay, it was breaking up. Okay, so I don't know why it was breaking up, but it was, it was some reason it was breaking up there. And
is it clear?
Yeah. Some of it is, it was breaking up like you were just, some of it was.
I'm talking. Speakerphone, so bear with me. I'm going to receiver.
Okay. Try it that way and see what happens.
Okay. Is this better?
Well, keep talking.
Receiver. Okay. I'm talking.
Okay.
Is this a little better?
Well, you sound clear, but then something is still breaking up a little bit. So tell you what, Dorothy is because she has access to the helpline. They can actually get on it and check it out from there. And it might be something on the Blog Talk site that or from their perspective that can help. But now,
right.
Do I sound clear? Do I sound clear to you?
You sound very clear to me.
Okay. So it's from our end, it's going out clearly, but from your end, it's not coming in clearly. Now, right now, you sound fine. Keep talking.
Okay. All right. I'll continue.
Oh, now right now you sound fine.
Beautiful. Okay, great. You see how it is? It worked itself out and it's clear. Now,
go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Now, you know, it's very important, you see, to when your children are young, to take them out in nature. Now, what I mean is take them to the park, take them to a lake, if you have an opportunity to go to the forest, you know, take them somewhere where they can experience nature.
Okay.
They can watch, see the clouds, the skies, all of this. This is important because we have young developing brains. And see, these experiences provoke questions. They, you know, mommy, daddy, what is this? The children need to experience the world around them. They need to experience the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
You see, take time out, if possible, to take your children to the Museum of Natural Science.
Mm-hmm.
Not just
right.
that, what is it, that entertainment show or something. You know, these kinds of experiences are important in laying the groundwork for what hopefully later in their life will be the doorway to the bliss point. Now, something that you also said earlier, and I'm simply going to parrot it here because it's simply essential. It's essential,
okay.
And that is a belief or a feeling to honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction.
All right.
If parents do not, if they don't set the example, if children don't see their parents honoring the source of creation for guidance and direction, it doesn't mean that they themselves won't do it. It simply means that the task will be greater. It will be, you know, they will have a much more difficult climb, because obviously if one's parents believe, you see, in a creator and there is a divine source behind life, this is going to help out a lot.
Okay.
Now, I'd like to introduce spirituality. But,
mm-hmm.
but I want to introduce spirituality here in a generic way. Spirituality can be seen as belief in the unseen.
Okay.
Now, the unseen takes many forms. You know, before the time there was the invention of the microscope, microbes were unseen.
Okay.
Before we had any knowledge of ultraviolet radiation is unseen. So belief in the unseen is a kind of spirituality. Now, it's a kind of spirituality because it's something that I can't readily perceive or know directly through my five senses. Now, if I gain knowledge later, I can possibly access this information. This is what it means to learn. But the point is that to believe in the unseen is to believe in possibility.
Mm.
To have a belief in potential, in possibility. To believe in the yet to be discovered, what can yet be discovered, that I can use my imagination, for example, the Wright brothers, okay?
Okay.
The Wright brothers imagined themselves flying. You know, before they were capable of actually inventing the first airplane, they had to at least imagine themselves flying. To the extent that that was not that first plane, that was the unseen. And you see, the ultimate regarding the unseen is spirituality. And what is the nature of the spirituality? And one way that I call it is I call it the constant behind spatial-temporal reality. Now, what do I mean by constant behind spatial-temporal reality?
Mm-hmm.
It's the unchanging reality behind what we experience as life, you know, this time-space dimension. I went to a conference last weekend, a conference on spirituality and science. It was beautiful. It was just very beautiful. One of the presenters said that if a person was in the fourth dimension, you know, we live in three dimensions.
Okay.
Our daily life now is composed of three dimensions. If an individual lived 60 years in the fourth dimension, you know how old they would be in the third dimension?
Tell me.
3 million years old. 3 million years is comparable to 60 years in the fourth dimension.
Wow.
That I said wow. Now, we know that the fourth dimension exists. We simply can't directly access it, but we know it exists. Intuitively, we know the fourth dimension exists. We have experiences that tell us that the fourth dimension exists. They're called dreams. They're called deja vu. You see, now, you know, it's not like, excuse me, I want to, you know, live for 3 million years, but what I'm saying here is that possibility, expansion, see, the fourth dimension, you see, parents teaching their children to be inquisitive, to ask questions, to seek truth, not to settle for something simply because the answer given today is the fashionable answer. Can you hear me clearly?
Sure. Right now you're fairly fine. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of something I saw on a documentary about when Columbus, you know, came to shores, and at first the Indians, the Native Americans, could not see the ships because they had no reference for ships.
Right.
They couldn't
right.
see at first. They had no reference whatsoever, and but the shaman noticed the ripples of the water changing, and he followed that out there and said, "Something is out here because those ripples are changing in the water."
Right.
And so when he started following the ripples, the ships started to appear out there. I said, "Wow! So before then, you know, ships could not be seen." Before then.
That's a beautiful example. That's a beautiful example of what we're talking about. Now, let's suppose that this shaman was a child, or for that matter, another person, and there were authorities or what have you, or whatever, told them, don't do that. Don't do that kind of thing. We don't want you doing that. Well, you know, we don't know what the future is, but apparently we obviously know that that would have certainly discouraged him from following his own intuition.
Right.
Following his own imagination and ideas about what this could possibly lead to, and that's what parents. That's one of the roles of responsible parents, to do what, to inculcate or help their children develop courage. If you were asking me, can I think of one word that's very important in this relationship? It's courage. It's courage. Teaching my children, giving them the courage to explore, to ask questions, giving them the courage to acknowledge the truth. It takes courage to acknowledge the truth. Because there are so many influences around us that discourage us. There are enough influences around a child and around an individual that discourage the person from accepting the truth, acknowledging something as factual. I want to refer to an article that I read a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
On the internet. It's a book. The book is entitled The Self-Illusion. The Self-Illusion. It's written by a guy named Bruce Hood, H-O-O-D, last year. The Self-Illusion, the subtitle is How the Social Brain Creates Identity. What's very fascinating about this book, The Self-Illusion, is basically what he says is that our daily sense of self, the me, the one that I think I am, he says he calls it an after-the-fact organization or trick of the brain. Now, what he means is that he's saying that my brain synthesizes or brings together the interactions between my nervous system and the natural and social environment around me. And My brain brings all of this together, all of this information from the outside is organized in a manner to give rise to a simplified me, a simplified explanation of who I am as a person. And this is the self illusion. Did you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. No. It's good. Good. Yeah, keep going. Can you repeat the name of that book again?
Yeah, the name of the book is The Self Illusion.
Illusion.
Self-illusion.
Right. Okay.
Right. I. Illusion. Yeah. By Bruce illusion. Hood. Bruce Hood.
Okay.
Hood. That's Oxford University Press, 2012. It was published last year. The Self Illusion by Bruce Hood. And the review is excellent. And I was reading it, and basically what he was saying in the review, the review of the book basically is saying what I have intuitively believed for quite some time, that the self that I experience, the me that I experience, or more practically, the ego that I think I am, this ego that I have, and this ego who I think is myself, it's actually the product of the interaction of my nervous system with my environment, the natural and social environment. I use the phrase sometimes, when I'm born, I'm named, I'm claimed, and I'm trained. Okay?
Oh.
I'm named.
I like that one. I'll use it.
I'm named. I'm claimed, and I'm trained, okay?
Okay.
Now, at first glance, there's nothing wrong with that. It's highly functional. It's highly practical and functional because I've got to have some kind of identity that exists in this world.
Sure.
I've got to understand, you know, I've got to have parents who can model for me and show me, you know, what's correct human behavior. So I'm named, and I'm claimed. You know, I'm part of a family, a clan, a tribe, or whatever, a neighborhood, and I'm trained. I'm trained.
Mm-hmm.
I'm schooled, and I'm brought up to behave a certain way. You know, you'll reward me if I do what you want me to do, and you will not reward me when I don't do what you want, do what you ask me to do. Basically, reward and punishment. So in my interactions with other people around me, particular individuals my same age, they too are named, claimed, and trained. So what happens is that ultimately I arrive at this identity. I have this identity. I have a name, you know, this identification. This is me. This is all of the experiences that I've had, you know. This is what I want to do with my life, this whole composite here. And just to make it easier for us, let's just call it ego self. Let's just call it my ego identity.
Okay?
The ego identity is not my true self.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is very critical in terms of a movement toward the bliss point. You see, it's through my true self that I move closer to the bliss point.
Okay.
The true self meaning an authentic me, the authentic self. Now, what is authentic about me? And I don't mean me personally.
Sure,
I'm talking
of course.
About every child, every individual. What's authentic about me is that I am caused or created by a being who gives me guidance and direction. That's authentic about me. What's authentic about me is that I have the capability to learn and ask questions, to be curious. In other words, it's part of my makeup and my nature. What's authentic about me, and this is very, obviously this is very important, but for many people it's elusive, it's difficult to grasp. And that is, I am a spirit. I'm a spiritual being. I existed before I abided in my physical body. And this is very difficult for many people. You still there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sounds
there?
Great.
Okay.
Sounds wonderful.
Okay. All right. See, now, this sense of spirituality, this sense of inner, there's an inner me that exists apart from the trained me. You know, this me that I think I am. That there's a deeper me. This
right.
deeper me. This deeper me is spiritual. This deeper me is what is the link that allows me to become reconnected. It's that deeper me mm-hmm. that becomes reconnected with what I am, what I came from,
mm-hmm.
what I came from.
Mm-hmm.
Parents only lay the groundwork for this. Parents can only set the stage for this. They set the stage for it by showing the example. They attempt to set the right example in their lives in terms of their values, in terms of their beliefs, in terms of the value that they place upon knowledge, the value they place upon life itself, being a part of life, being in life, and recognizing that there is something beyond the mere satisfaction of physical desire. You know, the purpose of living is not simply to eat and sleep
mm-hmm.
and have sex, okay, or to buy the biggest house or the largest car or whatever. This is not the purpose of life. I'd like to, at this point, possibly get started. If you have any questions to help me out here, because these are the pointers that I wanted to bring out.
One thing for sure. Because the child develops at different stages and they understand
exactly.
certain things at certain stages.
Exactly.
A lot of things are too abstract for them, and they'll have no clue. It'll be like white noise talking to them. However, there is a point where they can grasp everything you're saying. So at what point do you actually start introducing certain questions that make them think more about their authentic self?
Okay. Excellent question. It is not my role as a parent to tell my child to start thinking about his or her authentic self. The reason is because if I have laid the groundwork, if I've laid the proper groundwork and my child chooses, you see, to try to live his or her life accordingly, that question will emerge automatically. It's already embedded in my nature. It's mm-hmm. already there. See, the parent doesn't have to literally, it's time for you to start thinking about what you really are. The parent doesn't have to do that.
Okay.
See, excellent question about at what stage this should be done. This will occur at the proper point when the person has, this is something individual. This is something that typically occurs later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to go through quite a bit to learn the right lessons and have the kinds of experiences that precede and are necessary for us to understand the nature of the bliss point. But it's got to be first grade and second grade. It's got to be kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. And this is what wise parents do. Wise parents take their children through, not literally school, but they, in terms of the meaning of life, what is valuable, what is important, they take them through kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. Now, it seems that what we are learning is that it's only until an individual is in their 40s that they routinely, most people don't begin to toy with the bliss point until they are 40 and older. It seems that this is a stage of maturation in life.
Yes.
The brain develops to a point where the person has had experience and sufficient knowledge and begins hopefully to develop the kind of wisdom and common sense to kind of reflect and look back. Now this
right.
is also the critical stage where there has to be movement toward reconnection. I'm not saying on the 40th birthday.
Okay. Can't wait till 40th.
I'm saying a phase, right? A particular point in life. I'm saying in the middle years, the latter middle years, is usually when a person begins to reconnect. Abraham Maslow, psychologist Abraham Maslow. You're familiar with him. He had a hierarchy of human needs.
Yes, yes.
And he said that the highest level of the hierarchy was when a human being had a sense of unity. A person reaches a stage where they have integrity. Another guy named Erickson said integrity versus despair. He called it a period in life where you either have a deep sense of integrity or you have a sense of despair and anxiety. It's like baking a cake, right? The cake's not going to just pop out of the oven.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the right ingredients. You got to stir the batter. I've got to put in certain ingredients at a specific time. I've got to add water, flour, put in specific time. I've got to stir. I just can't have the ingredients in a bowl and think this is going to happen. See, and life basically includes the ingredients, the batter, the water. And guess who does? Guess who has to stir it? Guess who has to take the mix and properly stir it? I do.
Tell me, where does self-actualization come in here?
This is self-actualization. See, right. the truth about self-actualization is when a person arrives at the bliss point is when they are truly self-actualized. That is self-actualization. You see, self-actualization is when I recognize as a human being, as a spiritual being, as a unique entity, I have a general sense, a deep sense of where I came from, why I am here on earth, and where I am headed.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
where
I
came from, why I'm on earth, and where I'm headed. See?
I see. Mm-hmm.
Now, if we were to put this in a, let's try to put this in an example for all of us, including yours truly, we can all appreciate and understand. A caterpillar is an egg with legs. A caterpillar is an egg with legs.
An egg with legs?
That's all. That's literally what a caterpillar is. It's a larva. It's larva with legs. See?
An egg with the legs. Okay.
That's what it is. Okay? Now let's kind of just use our imagination with this caterpillar, okay? Let's say we've got some caterpillar parents.
Okay.
And they teeth tell the caterpillar, look here, you got to nibble on these leaves. Okay, it's important that you nibble on these leaves and you go in this direction up the tree. All right, well, if the caterpillar basically follows these wise instructions, this overall sense of, you know, purpose, you know, life, that caterpillar inevitably is going to spin a cocoon. There's something going to happen, and it's called a cocoon. And out of that cocoon is going to come a butterfly.
Okay.
A totally different creature, totally different reality. Kind of like, let's look at the caterpillar as the third dimension.
Okay. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And the butterfly is the fourth dimension. See, that butterfly is embedded in our nature. That butterfly is embedded in each infant. You see, the makings of that bliss point, the ingredients are already in me. Now, whether or not I experience this bliss point basically is in my hands. It's in my own hands. I actually determine if I will experience authentic self-actualization. Will I become too preoccupied with pain, with my past? Will I dismiss and ignore clear indication? You see that there is a constant behind creation, that there is a source of guidance and direction. Will I dismiss this because it may be politically correct? Will I dismiss it because I'm in an immediate environment where people don't take it serious? They don't want to look at it. You know, I think everyone in the audience would agree that wherever there is a law or rule, wherever you find a law or a rule, you will find a lawmaker or a ruler. A ruler, not as in 12-inch rule, of course. But there are no laws without a lawmaker.
All right.
So there are laws that underlie human development. There are laws that underlie the growth of the self, the true self.
Now, hold on. About the fourth dimension, hitting this point again, how will the child naturally gravitate toward experiencing some of the fourth dimension?
The adult who comes to terms with his or her ego, and this isn't done in one day, the adult who simply comes to terms with his or her ego and gradually comes to terms with the challenge to accept the truth, the adult who develops the courage to say, you know, I'm going to align myself with what I know is true, and I'm not going to be afraid and worry about what other people think. The adult who comes to recognize that achievement, the idea of me being a success in life is really inward. It's inward. Others cannot define whether I'm a successful person or not. It certainly can't be defined as based upon how much money I make or the type of job I have or the particular circumstance I may be in at any given time. You see, when a person can begin to reach a level of awareness, a consciousness, where their sense of being successful is something inside of them. It's inside them. See, I'm not talking about myself. I'm just using this as an example.
Sure.
I am successful because I want to know the truth. I am successful because I ask questions. I ask questions to learn, to get answers, not in school. I want to know.
See?
I'm going to refer to a comment that you made early in the beginning of the show.
Okay.
You said something, I don't remember the exact words you used. You said in each adult there's an angelic child.
Yes.
That I believe has something like an angelic nature. It was some wording you used like that. I don't know exactly what it was.
Well, I was referring to the inner child within the child.
Well, that inner child, that inner angelic child is the true self.
Mm-hmm.
That inner angelic child is the true self.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's I'm sorry, go on. And
right there, I think that's important to elaborate more on. As a matter of fact, since we're coming toward the end, actually in our borrowed time now, toward the end of the show, I think it's good because this is a pretty, I would say not dense. I guess concentrated program we had today. Matter of fact, I'm going to encourage everybody to go to blogtalkradio.com/reconnected and download this particular show. It'll show you how to do it. You might have to get someone to help you out, possibly. I know first time I did, I needed help. But download this episode and burn your CDs and have it in your car and just play it. Sometimes you might not get the light bulb might not come on until after maybe the fourth time. It happens like that sometimes, you know. It just depends on where we are in our evolution. It's okay. But the idea that just play it over and over and over. There are a lot of things that were said today that are worth revisiting. And when we talk about the fourth dimension and looking at a reality that we very seldom experience, sometime, well, you know, if ever, for some people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just knowing that it's there. It's like your vision. Your vision can only see so far. But if you say, there's nothing beyond my physical vision, you know you're fooling yourself. All you do is just get in the car
That's
and
right.
travel. After a while, you'll
That's
see
right.
there's something beyond your physical vision.
That's
you see?
Right.
So you can't say that there's nothing beyond you what you're smelling, okay? Because you know you go into a certain restaurant, so I never smelled that before. Well, the smells are already there. You weren't exposed to them. You know?
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
They are there. So we would love to know more how to get more, not just in touch with, how can we access the fourth dimension for our benefit? Matter of fact, that sounds like a good program for our next show.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it would be great. What I would say, though, is what we may talk about is a highway towards the fourth dimension, you know. Accessing the fourth dimension is actually access to the doorway, and that's self-actualization. And we can talk a little more detail about what that involves in terms of life and the people that are important in my life as I grow up from childhood. And you know, it's kind of like learning that in order to plant flowers, you have to rake leaves. You have to rake weeds. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you have
See,
to
I have
rake.
I have to clear the ground.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
I have
yes.
to clear ground in order to plant flowers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And part of life, see, part of motion toward the bliss point is learning how to clear ground, learning how to clear away weeds. And I got plenty of them, see. See, the dilemma, the paradox in life is that a lot of weeds grow around flowers. See?
Oh.
See? Emotional,
okay.
factual. So next show we'll deal with that because I know the time limit, you know.
Yeah, matter of fact, I like this. How can we access, or no, highway to the fourth dimension.
Right, the highway to the fourth dimension.
Ooh. Well, okay. All right. Well, like I said earlier, I encourage everybody to go to blogtalkradio.com/reconnected and find the show. It's right on the homepage there under Bliss Point and Our Children. That's the title of the show, Bliss Point and Our Children with Dr. Brown. And so when you click on that and you start hearing the show, right under the picture, or I guess my picture there, I still can't get Dr. Brown to give me his picture. But that's okay. Under the show, it'll say download this episode. You click on download this episode, then it'll ask you to save as, and then you would put in there save as. Then you can actually rename it. You'll get a number, like it might be 4, 5, 8, 9, 10, whatever the number is. You can just rename that so you'll know exactly what it is in your music file. Then it'll go into your download folder, and you open that up, and then you actually save it to your regular folder. And with me, is my music folder. And then once you have it into your music folder, it's there. And then you can access that anytime. From that point, you can put it into your, with me, with Windows, I have the Windows Media Player. You could put it right there easily. And then for Windows Media Player, you can just put it over to your burn CD column and burn your CD and have your CD and play it in the car. And there you go. And so it's all free information, free therapy. People pay lots of money for these kind of programs. $1,000. If you go to a weekend workshop, you'll spend at a minimum $500 besides the other costs incurred there. So think about that. $500 per weekend. You might spend $150 per hour with a therapist, sometimes more. And all that, and that's continuous. That's not one time, continuous. So now here you come into the Reconnected Show. You're just spending your time only, and you're hearing shows here that, to my estimation, supersede all those other people out there who have these great shows and get you to be emotionally moved to buy the products and services, where right here in a nice, plain, common sense way, you're actually hearing what you need to have to develop yourself. And that's the most important thing. The fluff and emotion is not important. What's important is you getting the message, hitting it home, getting that bliss point stimulated, understanding we all have that, and connecting to that, knowing that you're worth it, you deserve it, and you're going to have it. And once you connect to that true self, you truly become reconciled, and you really have that point of self-actualization. You know, it's like a full circle there. And that's what we're talking about getting with this program. And this also reflects the message in my book. So I encourage everybody, of course, to get my book, Reconnected. And also just to get these programs in your library. Some therapists actually start collecting CDs. It's okay. I don't mind at all. It's important that we get it. That's the most important thing, just to get it. And then, you know, hey, we're fine. So, Dr. Brown, you have any closing comments?
You said it. I think you summed it up very. I'm not judging you. I'm just bearing witness to the fact that it was excellent. You came full circle. That's not a judgment on my part. I'm just acknowledging it.
Okay. Oh, no. Never taken that way. No, I think it's very good. So we've done this, and you know, Maslow did an excellent job. The only comment, you know, that I read Maslow about the hierarchy of needs is that realizing, and everybody understand this, you don't need to get to a certain healthy point, so to speak, to help somebody else. You can help
That's
somebody
right.
At all levels. You can help somebody. You
at
don't have
any
to wait.
Time.
At any
That's
time.
Right.
You don't have to wait until you get to a certain point of, now I've got my position, now I'm happy, now I can help somebody. Now I can do it now. I feel I'm self-actualized. Now I can help somebody out.
You know what's one real quickie on that. You know what? Actually, when I call myself helping somebody out, I'm helping myself.
Yeah, sure.
That may be something for another. I'm helping myself.
Sure.
I'm helping myself on another vibe, on another vibration. There may be another show sometime, see?
Sure.
In terms of, we can even break that down psychologically, psycho-spiritually, how when I help another person, what I'm doing to terms of that vibration on myself, my well-being.
Yes, we can do another show. As a matter of fact, that's only criticism, or I guess you could call it that, with Maslow. It basically was saying that at a certain level, you're looking at, okay, well, you know, I need some food now. I'm concentrating on getting some food. I need some money. Only I can't be in a helping position right now. I gotta get this right now. I gotta get this.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta pay the rent right now. So that's the only I can think about. And I said, well, wait a minute now. I remember when I was down. Everybody has had their periods. You know, I had a period of homelessness myself.
I
was
yeah.
helping the homeless while I was homeless.
Yes.
And when I was collecting money, when I was on a street in San Francisco, I gave a portion of that to other homeless as I was going to get them back home. You see? And yes. so you're helping every step of the way.
You're saying it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We've got a lot to talk about. We're always doing to deal with. You know, Eric Fromm wrote a book called Escape from Freedom. He said, giving is not, he said, giving is not receiving. In the act of giving, you receive. Something about, you see, the greater value and power of giving and not just receiving, what you're talking about. But I know you got to go. We got to go. But this is like the Energizer battery.
Okay.
When we talk. See, it's the Energizer battery. Because we are talking about the truth. We're not talking about something. We're not being selfish here. See, that's what Reconnected is all about. That's what Arrival at the Bliss Point is all about. We're talking about truth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So with that, we're going to end our show. So I invite everybody to always tune in next week. I've had a lot of rebroadcast shows on the air and live ones. This is definitely a live one. And I want everybody to make sure that tune in. We always have thought-provoking programs, and we always have a certain kind of theme. A lot of people have tried to come on Reconnected Show with their services that that we're not in the spirit of reconnected. You know, like first of all, somebody wanted to talk about fighting depression. Well, we don't fight anything. You know, we aren't fighting anything. I'm not in the ring. We're not in the ring. You know, and the most our gloves aren't on. We're not fighting anybody, and we're not glorifying depression. So both those topics are off the path of reconnected. So
That's right.
So I had to tell the person, we don't do either one. We don't glorify depression, or we don't fight anything. So it's always about reconciling and looking at how we can be the best person we can be and connecting to that true self within, how we can actually promote that in our little ones and how we can actually be more than ourselves. And really, we got to be more than ourselves first anyway. We know that. Then by example, by our spirit, by our energy that goes out there, the young ones pick that up, and they in turn become that. So with that, we're going to stop our program. So, Dr. Brown, I appreciate you coming on the show again and enlightening us.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and we're looking forward to our next visit. In the meantime, I always close with a nice little Latin tune for us to kind of have a fun time and dance and sing. And matter of fact, I have in my office a picture of dancing Snoopy and Charlie Brown to remind me to stay in a light position. Stay light, happy, and wonderful in this. Keep a free spirit like Snoopy. Keep a free spirit and be anything you want to be, and you'll be that. And so we'll end with that. So see you guys next time. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you.
All right. Here we go.